Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good evening, podcast family. Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, and with co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And this is Nurse Carmen. And again, thank you for tuning in. And next we will be having a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to our new hour. I just got a call from one of our members that said that they weren't able to get in. I'm hoping that they try again and be able to get in. And once again, our new hour is starting at 8 o'clock, Sunday and Thursday nights. So, the question has been asked, how do I get my life to take off? And it's begin at once to imagine it the way you want it to be and move into that. Check every thought, word, and action that does not fall into harmony with that and move away from those. When you have a thought that is not in alignment with your higher vision, change to a new thought. Then and there, when you say a thing that is out of alignment with your grandest idea, make a note not to say something like that again. When you do a thing that is misaligned with your best intentions, decide to make that the last time and make it right with whomever was involved if you can. Now, I've heard this before. People say, I've heard this before and I've always railed against it because it seems so dishonest. I mean, if you're sick as a dog, you're not supposed to admit it. If you're broke as a pauper, you're never supposed to say it. If you're upset as hell, you're not supposed to show it. It reminds me of the joke about the three people who were sent to hell. One was a Catholic, one was a Jew, and one was a New Ager. The devil said to the Catholic, sneeringly, well, how are you enjoying the heat? And the Catholic sniffled, I'm offering it up. The devil then asked the Jew, and how are you enjoying the heat? The Jew said, so what else could I expect but more hell? Finally, the devil approached the New Ager. Heat? The New Ager asked, inspiring, what heat? Now, that's a good joke, but I'm not talking about ignoring the problem or pretending it isn't there. I'm talking about noticing the circumstances and then telling your highest truth about it. If you're broke, you're broke. It's pointless to lie about it and actually debilitating to try to manufacture a story about it so as not to admit it. Yet, it's your thought about it. Broke is bad. This is horrible. I'm a bad person because good people who work hard and really try never go broke, you know, etc. That rules how you experience brokenness. It's your words about it. I'm broke. I haven't a dime. I don't have any money. That dictates how long you stay broke. It's your actions surrounding it. Feeling sorry for yourself, sitting around despondent, not trying to find a way out because what's the use anyway? That creates long-term reality. The first thing to understand about the universe is that no condition is good or bad. It just is. So stop making value judgments. The second thing to know is that all conditions are temporary. Nothing stays the same. Nothing remains static. Which way a thing changes depends on you. But then they say, well, what about the person who is sick but has the faith that will move mountains and so thinks, says, and believes he's going to get better? Only to die 6 weeks later. How does that square with all this positive thinking, affirmative action stuff? Affirmation action. Now, you're asking a tough question. That's good. You're not simply taking my word for it. This is a place, there is a place down the line when you'll have to take God's word on this, because eventually you'll find that we can discuss this thing forever until there's nothing left to do but try it or deny it. But we're not at that place yet, so let's keep the conversation going. Let's keep talking. The person who has the faith to move mountains and die 6 weeks later has moved mountains for 6 weeks. That may have been enough for the person. He may have decided on the last hour of the last day, okay, I've had enough. I'm ready to go on now to another adventure. You may not have known or that decision. You may not have known of that decision because he may not have told you. The truth is, he may have made that decision quite a bit earlier, days, weeks earlier, and have not told you, not told anyone. You have created a society in which it is very not okay to want to die. Very not okay to be very okay with death. Because you don't want to die, you can't imagine anyone wanting to die, no matter what their circumstances or conditions. But there are many situations in which death is preferable to life, which I know you can't imagine if you think about it for a little bit. Yet these truths don't occur to you. They are not that self-evident. When you are looking in the face someone else who is choosing to die, and the dying person knows this, she can feel the level of acceptance in the room regarding her decision. Have you ever noticed how many people wait until the room is empty before they die? Some even have to tell their loved ones, "No, really, go get a bite to eat, or go get some sleep. I'm fine. I'll see you in the morning." And then when the loyal guard leaves, so does the soul from the body of the guarded. If they told their assembly relatives and friends, "I just want to die," they would really hear it. "Oh, you don't mean that," or, "Now, don't take that away, don't talk that way," or, "Hang in there," or, "Please don't leave me." The entire medical profession is trained to keep people alive rather than keeping people comfortable so that they can die with dignity. You see, to a doctor or a nurse, death is failure. To a friend or relative, death is disaster. Only to the soul is death a relief, a release. The greatest gift you can give the dying is to let them die in peace, not thinking that they must hang on or continue to suffer or worry about you at the most crucial passage in their life. So this is very often what happens in the case of the man who says he's going to live. Because he's going to live, even prays to live, that at the soul level, he has changed his mind. It is time now to drop the body to free the soul for other pursuits. When the soul makes this decision, nothing the body can do can change it. Nothing the mind can think can alter it. It is at that moment of death that we learn who in the body, mind, soul, triad is running things. All of your life, you think you are your body. Some of the time, you think you are your mind. It is at the time of your death that you find out who you really are. Now, there are also times when the body and the mind are just not listening to the soul. This too creates the scenario you described. The most difficult thing for people to do is hear their own soul. Notice that so few do. Now, it happens often that the soul makes a decision that it is time to leave the body. The body and the mind, ever servants of the soul, hear this, and the process of extraction begins. Yet the mind, the ego, doesn't want to accept. After all, this is the end of its existence. So it instructs the body to resist death. This the body does gladly, since it too does not want to die. The body and the mind, ego, receives great encouragement, great praise for those from the outside world, the world of its creation, so the strategy is confirmed. Now, at this point, everything depends on how badly the soul wants to leave. If there is no great urgency here, the soul may say, "All right, you win. I'll stick around with you a little longer." But if the soul is very clear that staying does not serve its higher agenda, there is no further way it can evolve through this body, the soul is going to leave, and nothing will stop it, nor should anything try to. The soul is very clear that its purpose is evolution, that its soul purpose and its soul purpose. It is not concerned with the achievements of the body or development of the mind. These are all meaningless to the soul. The soul also clear that there is no great tragedy involved in leaving the body. In many ways, the tragedy is being in the body. So you have to understand, the soul sees the whole death thing differently. It, of course, sees the whole life thing differently too. And that is the source of much of the frustration and anxiety one feels in one life. The frustration and anxiety comes from not listening to one's soul. So how can I best listen to my soul? If the soul is the boss, really, how can I make sure I get the memo from the front office? The first thing you might do is get clear about what the soul is after and stop making judgments about it. So you say, I'm making judgments about my own soul constantly. I've just showed you how you judge yourself for wanting to die. You also judge yourself for wanting to live, truly live. You judge yourself for wanting to laugh, wanting to cry, wanting to win, wanting to lose, for wanting to experience joy and love. Especially do you judge yourself for that. Somewhere, you come across the idea that to deny yourself joy is godly. That's not to celebrate life as heavenly. Denial, you have told yourself, is goodness. So am I saying it's bad? It's neither good or bad. It's simply denial. If you feel good after denying yourself, then in your world, that is goodness. If you feel bad, then it's badness. Most of the time, you can't decide. You deny yourself this or that because you tell yourself you are supposed to. Then you say, that was a good thing to do, but wonder why you don't feel good. And so the first thing to do is stop making these judgments against yourself. Learn what is the soul's desire and go with that. Go with the soul. What the soul is after is the highest feeling of love you can imagine. This is the soul's desire. This is its purpose. The soul is after the feeling, not the knowledge. Feeling. It already has the knowledge, but knowledge is conceptual. Feeling is experiential. The soul wants to feel itself and thus to know itself in its own experience. The highest feeling is the experience of unity with all that is. This is the great return to truth for which the soul yearns. This is the feeling of perfect love. Perfect love is to feel what perfect white is to color. Many think that white is the absence of color. It is not. It is the inclusion of all colors. White is what is every other color that exists combined. So too is love, not the absence of an emotion, hatred, anger, lust, jealous, but the summation of all feelings, It is the sum total, the aggregated amount, the everything. Thus, for the soul to experience perfect love, it must experience every human feeling. How can God have compassion on that which you don't? How can you have compassion on that on which you don't understand? How can you forgive in another that which you have never experienced in yourself? So, you see, we're here simplistically in the awesome magnitude of the soul journey. We understand at last what it is up to. The purpose of the human soul is to experience all of it so that it can be all of it. How can it be up to, how can it be up if there's never been down? Left if it's never been right? How can it be warm if it knows not cold? Good if it denies evil? Obviously, the soul cannot choose to be anything if there is nothing to choose from. For the soul to experience its grandeur, it must know what grandeur is. This it cannot do if there is nothing but grandeur. And so the soul realizes that grandeur only exists in the space of that which is not granted. The soul, therefore, never condemns that which is not grand, but blesses, seeing in it a part of itself which must exist for another part of itself to manifest. The job of the soul, of course, is to cause us to choose the grandeur, to select the best of who you are without condemning which you do not select. This is a big task, taking many lifetimes for you want to rush to judgment to call a thing wrong or bad or not enough, rather than to bless what you do not choose. You do worse than condemned. You actually seek to do harm to that which you do not choose. You seek to destroy it. If there is a person, place, or thing with which you do not agree, you attack it. If there is a religion that goes against yours, you make it wrong. If there is a thought that contradicts yours, you ridicule it. If there is an idea other than yours, you reject it. In this you error, for you create only half a universe, and you cannot even understand your half when you have rejected out of hand the other. Okay. So, how else do you heal him? Of course, a real devil does not exist, but I replied to you in the idiom you choose. Healing is the process of accepting all, then choosing best. Do you understand that? You cannot choose to be God if there is nothing else to choose from. Then you say, hold up, who says anything about choosing to be God? The highest feeling is perfect love, is it not? And can you find a better description of God? Well, your soul seeks the highest feeling. It seeks to experience to be perfect love. It is perfect love, and it knows this. Yet it wishes to do more than know it. It wishes to be it in experience. Of course you're all seeking to be God. What else do you think you're up to? Then you say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess I never thought of it that way. There just seems to be some vaguely blasphemy about that. Isn't it interesting that you find nothing blasphemous about seeking to be like the devil, seeking to be like God offends you? All right, you say, oh, wait a minute. Who's seeking to be like the devil? Well, you are. You all are. You've even created religions that tell you that you are born in sin, that you are sinners at birth, in order to convince yourself of your own evil. Yet, if I told you you are born of God, that you are pure gods and goddesses at birth, pure love, you would reject me. after your life has been spent convincing yourself that you are bad, not only that you are bad, but that the things you want are bad. Sex is bad. Money is bad. Joy is bad. Power is bad. Having a lot is bad. A lot of anything. Some of your religions have even got you believing that dancing is bad. Music is bad. Celebrating life is bad. Soon you'll agree that smiling is bad. Laughing is bad. Loving is bad. No, my friends, you may not be very clear about many things, but about one thing you are clear. You and most of what you desire are bad. Having made this judgment about yourself, you have decided that your job is to get better. It's okay, mind you. It's the same destination in any event. It's just that there's a faster way, a shorter route, a quicker path, which is acceptance of who and what you are right now, and demonstration of that. This is what Jesus did. It is the path of the Buddha, the way of the Krishna, the walk of every master who has appeared on the planet. And every master has likewise had the same message. Who God is, you are, and how God can do, you can do. What God can do, you can do. These things and more shall you also do. Yet you have not listened. You have chosen instead the far more difficult path of one who thinks he is the devil, one who imagines he is evil. You say it is difficult to walk the path of Christ, to follow the teachings of the Buddha, to hold the light of Krishna, to be a master. Yet I tell you this, it is far more difficult to deny who you are and to accept it. You are goodness and mercy and compassion and understanding. You are peace and joy and light. You are forgiveness and patience, strength and courage, a helper in time of need, a comforter in time of sorrow, a healer in time of injury, a teacher in time of confusion. You are the deepest wisdom and the highest truth, the grandest peace and the greatest love. You are these things, and in moments of your life, you have known yourself as these things. Choose now to know yourself as these things always. Choose now to know yourself as these things always. Well, you know, a lot of people, and I can speak for myself, a lot of people, because I like to try and share laughter and stuff, and people are saying that being godly needs to be more serious. But I'm trying to tell people, do not contain God by the same way you yourself, do not try to contain God, put God in a box. And it would be wise for you to do the same for yourself. It just so happens that God has a great sense of humor.
Amen.
I'd say you'd have to, when you see what's all going on in life, wouldn't you? I mean, if you were God looking down on us, realizing who we are and see the things that we're doing, wouldn't you get a good chuckle out of it? The things that we're
Absolutely.
Doing that we don't have to do because we choose to believe what it is that other people are telling us. This is why I go back to my favorite saying. It is so important for us to go within. Go within and speak with God within you. He will share. He will. All you have to do is listen, because he's talking to you all the time. Let me tell you this. It really doesn't matter, because you can't lose in this game. You can't go wrong. It's not part of the plan. There's no way not to get where you are going. There is no way to miss your destination. If God is your target, you're in luck. Because God is so big, you can't miss. Then you say that. That's the big worry, of course. The big worry is that somehow we'll mess up and not get ever to see you and be with God. You can't, you mean get to heaven. Yes, we're all afraid of going to hell. So you place yourself there to begin with in order to avoid going there. So you see what we're doing? We want to get to heaven. So what we're doing technically is placing ourselves in hell, going through all of these unnecessary trials and tribulations that we don't have to. So we've actually placed ourselves. I tell people this all the time. We're always trying to, we're trying to get somewhere where we're already at. We want to get to heaven. And as I told every, heaven and hell is right here on earth. All right, this brings me to another question. Why don't God fix the world instead of allowing it to go to hell? Then God would say to you, why don't you? Then you say, I don't have the power. But that's nonsense. You've the power and the ability right now to end world hunger this minute, to cure diseases this instant. What if I told you your own medical professions hold back cures, refuse to approve alternative medicines and procedures because that threaten the very structure of the healing profession? What if I told you that the government of the world do not want to end world hunger? Would you believe me? Now, no individual doctor wants to do it, but as a whole. So, as we get ready to conclude this lesson today, I just want us to understand that God has created you in the image and likeness of God. God is the creator. You are three beings in one. You can call these three aspects of being anything you want. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, mind, body, and spirit, superconscious, conscious, and subconscious. Creation is a process that proceeds from these parts of the body. Creation proceeds from these parts of the body. Now, we mentioned them, as a matter of fact, on our last podcast, we mentioned them. But I want us to understand that throughout these podcasts, you'll hear me repeating things over and over again. It's because we have to, as Brother Paul said, we have to renew our minds. Our minds are stuck on some old data, and there is new data available for us. All we have to do is take heed to it. So as we get ready to end this podcast, I do truly thank you for finding the time to stop in and listen. And I pray that something was said that would enlighten you, to give you the motivation to want to better know just who it is that you are and whose you are. Because remember that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And when I say all things, that means all things. You just have to believe and know that you can. And it may sound simple, but I want you to know that it is just that simple. You are amazing beings, created in the image and likeness of God. What more can we ask for? We have the tools of creation, thoughts, words, and deeds. Think it, speak it, and do it. Think it, speak it, and do it. Think it, speak it, and do it. Now, I've said this a couple times, but think about it. Think about it as we end this podcast. How many times we have actually had a thought, we spoke it, and we did it, and it came out just like we wanted. God bless you all. Have a pleasant evening and a great week. And I do look forward to another conversation on Thursday. I love you all. Good night, everyone.
Love you, too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.